You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, a group of former inmates are working to improve reentry conditions for people coming out of prison. We'll hear how they help former prisoners fully participate in their communities.
First, we continue our coverage of day two of the Republican National Convention in Cleveland.
Delegates officially named Donald Trump the Republican nominee for president.
Chris Christie gave a rousing speech slamming presumptive Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton that riled up the crowds.
Donald Trump's children took the stage at the convention to talk on behalf of their father, while their stepmother Melania is seeing low public approval.
Joining us now to give us the latest update in national politics is Harry Enten. He's a senior political writer and analyst at 538. Harry, welcome back.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, good. Well, let's start with the nomination process and check out what it sounds like as the votes start to come in.
Mr. Chairman, I come from the land where we manufacture Pez, nuclear submarines, and the home of the WWE, where men are men and the women are champions. The great state of Connecticut is casting all 28 delegates for the next president of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
So, Harry, we were watching so long for that magic number, 1237, 1,237 delegates. Wasn't even close. There's no drama going on at this point, right?
Not really much drama. I mean, there were some questions about whether or not they'd be able to get a minority report done, you know, and make the delegates also a real roll call vote. But at the end of the day, Trump ran over the competition, got the 1237 clinched in New York, and it just, the whole thing was over very, very quickly.
So is the whole Never Trump movement, is that officially dead at this point?
It would seem so. I mean, look, there are going to be people who don't end up voting for Trump for sure. But at the end of the day, Donald Trump is the Republican nominee for president. You can cross your T's, dot your I's. He is the candidate for the Republicans.
Now, before we get into some of the speeches that happened last night and what's going on today, how much do these conventions matter, Harry? There's a lot of hoopla, a lot of media coverage. Do they sway voters?
They can sway voters. You know, there's been a dropping sort of effect of the convention bounce. Mitt Romney barely even got one last time around. But at the end of the day, this is a real shot for Donald Trump to be able to take the lead in this race. He's down only a few points now, and we'll see if he's able to do it. If he doesn't take a lead after this convention, then it's pretty much, he's probably not going to be able to win. He needs to be leading after this convention.
Now, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, he spoke at the convention already, and his speech drew a lot of attention for the tone of it. He had a very specific sort of a rhetoric that he was using, getting the crowd chanting. Can you describe that speech for us?
Yeah, I mean, look, Christie is a New Yorker or a New Jerseyan. He is of that New York City metropolitan area, and you could see why he was such an electric speaker. But at the end of the day, you also saw why a lot of New Jerseyans don't like him anymore. He was very rough around the edges. He got the delegates in the hall fired up, but he also may have, in fact, alienated a lot of voters who otherwise might be willing to vote for Trump but aren't quite sure about it.
Let's give a listen to some of Chris Christie's speech here and the response.
In Libya and Nigeria, guilty. In China and Syria, in Iran and Russia and Cuba, and here at home for risking America's secrets to keep her own and lying to cover it all up.
So that was a call and response, part of his prosecutorial effort against Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. And it sounds like the crowd really ran with this, Harry.
I mean, the crowd really ran with it. It was the type of thing that played very well to the delegates in the hall. But again, I'm not sure it's the type of thing that plays with people at home. And that's who even Christie admits is the most important block at this point. The people who are in the hall who were cheering last night are people who were already voting for Donald Trump, and there were very few people in the hall compared to the number of voters who were voting in November. So we'll see if that type of thing that he did last night translates. I think it was a little rough. I thought that there were other speeches last night that were a little bit better, but we'll see.
So, Harry, based on what you've heard so far, Chris Christie just being one example, are you hearing people make a strong case to vote for Donald Trump, or are you hearing don't vote for Hillary Clinton?
That's been one of the most interesting things about this so far, is almost all of the speakers have spoken out about why you shouldn't vote for Hillary Clinton. Very few have said why you should vote for Donald Trump. And I think that that is a real question going forward, is even if people don't want to vote for Clinton, can they pull the trigger and vote for Donald Trump? And so far, we've seen in most of the polls that Trump has struggled to get above 40%. And I'm not necessarily sure that the past few days have convinced them to get enough so that they will, Trump's numbers can move above 40%. It could be the case, though, that Hillary Clinton's numbers fall even further, and maybe a Libertarian candidate like Gary Johnson ends up picking up a lot of that, and you end up with an election that's 40-40-20 or something along those lines. Who knows?
Before we move on from that anti-Clinton theme, I want to listen to a bit of a former presidential candidate now, Ben Carson's speech. Here he's drawing attention to, he says, Hillary Clinton's role model, organizer Saul Alinsky. Here's a listen.
This is a nation where every coin in our pocket and every bill in our wallet says, in God we trust. So are we willing to elect someone as president who has as their role model somebody who acknowledges Lucifer? Think about that.
So Saul Alinsky and a list of people who had, I guess, inspired his type of activism included Lucifer in that list. So 2 degrees of separation there, I guess Ben Carson is saying.
You know, I think that most people don't even know who Saul Alinsky is. I think most people know who Lucifer is, but I don't necessarily think that that's, again, not the type of thing that plays with people in the mainstream. This is not the type of thing that plays with people in the mainstream, and I think that there's a real question about whether this convention really talks to people in middle America, whether it talks to people who are in the center of the aisle, and we'll see if Trump is able to get a convention bounce out of this. I'm not so sure he will, but then again, this year's been so crazy that maybe he'll get a 6 or 7 point bounce.
We're talking to Harry Enten right now from 538. He's at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. And Harry, Donald Trump's family has been taking the stage as well. We heard from a son of his last night, also from daughter Ivanka Trump. But the person, the speaker getting the most headlines was his wife, Melania Trump, would-be first lady. Tell us about the reaction there at the convention and what happened after.
Well, you know, the Trump family, there have been a number of speeches that have been given. The Melania Trump speech was one that I don't think, you know, a lot of delegates in the hall were loving too much. And then there was obviously the whole problem with Melania Trump and the plagiarism allegations that she copied part of her speech from Michelle Obama's speech in 2008 when she was speaking at the Democratic National Convention. But the two Trump children who spoke on Tuesday were much better received, especially Donald Trump Jr., who a lot of people who were never Trumpers on my Twitter feed were saying, man, they wish that Donald Trump Jr. was, in fact, the Republican nominee for president, not Donald Trump Sr.
We'll look at the kids more in a minute, but before we move on from Melania Trump, you wrote a piece looking at, and I didn't know people polled on this, potential first lady approval numbers, and she is not doing well compared to first ladies, spouses of candidates in the past. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, sure. So it turns out when you look at the numbers going back to 1988, they ask, you know, do you have a favorable or unfavorable view of so-and-so? And they ask it for, they've asked at least since 1988 for all the potential spouses of presidential candidates, presidential nominees. And when you look at Melania Trump's numbers from Gallup just this past week, more people disliked her than liked her. That is very unusual. Usually spouses are much more popular than the candidates themselves. And usually more people like the spouses than dislike the spouses. In fact, Trump is the least liked spouse at this point going back to, since at least 1992. And if her numbers hold through the end of the campaign, she would be the least liked candidate since at least 1988.
So does that matter, though, numbers like that? I mean, we talk about do vice presidents matter, but on a different level, one generation removed. What about the spouses?
I don't think it matters very much, to be honest. I mean, look, Hillary Clinton was one of the least liked spouses of all time when she was Bill Clinton was winning election and re-election in 1992 and 1996. And Bill Clinton was easily able to win despite the fact that Barbara Bush and Liz Dahl were far more popular than Hillary Clinton was. So, no, I don't think it's something that will really play or really will matter. Donald Trump will win this or lose this on his own. But at the end of the day, I don't think anyone wants to be disliked. And unfortunately for Melania Trump, the American public isn't in love with her at this point.
Well, Harry, you mentioned the children of Donald Trump speaking. Let's give a listen. We'll hear first Tiffany and then Donald Jr.
If you do what you love, hold nothing back, and never let fear of failure get in the way, then you pretty much figured out the Trump formula.
His true gift as a leader is that he sees the potential in people that they don't even see in themselves. The potential that other executives would overlook because their resumes don't include the names of fancy colleges and degrees.
So there was a case where you're hearing people talking more pro-Donald Trump than anti-Hillary Clinton, and the idea that, hey, maybe his kids can put, you know, humanize him a little, as every presidential candidate kind of wants to be. Will that have an impact?
Well, I think it does. I mean, that's part of what a convention is supposed to do. It's supposed to humanize the candidate. And that's why I think the 2012 Republican convention wasn't as good for Mitt Romney as it could have been, because instead of having a video playing that showed Mitt Romney doing, you know, being a nice guy, they instead had Clint Eastwood on the stage talking to an empty chair. And so I think that speeches like the ones that Donald Trump and Tiffany Trump gave are the types of things that certainly help candidates out. It helps humanize them. I'm not sure we can put a number on it. I think it's something that really is taken as a package. But I think both Tiffany Trump and especially Donald Trump Jr. last night certainly didn't hurt their father and probably helped him.
And Harry, I know it's only Wednesday and we have to wait a little bit till Donald Trump himself takes the stage. But as we wrap up here, what does he have to do, do you think, during his big speech that's going to give him that bump in the polls that you're looking for to see if it happens and maybe close the deal here?
I think what you're really looking for at the end of the day is for Donald Trump to make the case not just why Hillary Clinton is unprepared to be commander-in-chief, but why Donald Trump is prepared to be commander-in-chief. He has to make the American people feel comfortable with choosing him, because no matter how much they hate Hillary Clinton, if he doesn't provide a legitimate alternative, then he's just simply not going to be able to get votes in the middle of the aisle, and he's going to continue to be stuck at around 40% of the vote.
We'll leave it there, Harry. Thanks a lot, as always, for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. He joins us every week to talk about national politics. He's covering the Republican National Convention in Cleveland.
Coming up after the news, we talk with a former inmate whose group is working to improve treatment of former prisoners and help them become contributing members of society. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farah. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.